Here are the Mark and Pete predictions for the latter half of 2020.
Hello and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. Who could have predicted the events on the first half of 2020? We have seen a tremendous impact from COVID-19 on the economy, on social lives, and many other things. Well, we will dig deep in terms of what this has meant for today, but more importantly is what does the future really look like? Many people are still dwelling on the past, and in fact, now it's perhaps an opportunity to start thinking of your risk strategy and what we need to do. We're going to go into that in a lot more detail, but here's a penny for your thoughts. A penniless fool will dwell in the past and contemplate what might have been, but the wise will certainly learn extremely fast and profit from the unforeseen. Clergyman Pete, here we go. This is an opportunity for us to now lay out the path for the future and profit from our gains. So what's your predictions for 2020, the latter half?
Well, businessman Mark, this COVID-19 nonsense has been really irritating me. I mean, how dare you ruin our predictions? Do you not realise how serious that is? People have come to rely on the Mark and Pete predictions, famous prediction that Trump would win. And let's start there, actually. Donald Trump is currently President of the United States of America. And I have a particular take, which I'll throw back to you in a minute. But I have a particular take on what I think is going to happen in the elections of November this year. People have been talking, including Nate Silver, you know, who one of the top pollsters in the US, have been saying, well, it's looking like a landslide for Biden.
Oh.
And right. Now, some of you will remember the polling for Hillary Clinton in the lead up to the election in 2016 and how it was all going her way and then she lost. And, you know, depending on whether you're a heartless psychopath or whether, you know, you have a very sensitive soul, you may have been either amused or horrified at the extreme reactions of those who supported Hillary as they howled in the streets and that sort of thing. I'll leave you to guess which was my reaction to them. But, you know, it's interesting looking at the situation now. We couldn't have predicted, we didn't predict that this coronavirus would hit and that the lockdowns would occur in Britain and America, around the world. We couldn't predict that, and neither could President Trump. However, what he could do is try and set the economy in America on an even keel, or in fact, allow it to grow by cutting regulation, by lowering taxes. And this seems to be happening. And also, of course, he's made trade deals with various countries. But that's not what I see as the important thing. The important thing is setting the economy in having the right conditions for growth. And as they've opened up, after the lockdown in many parts of America, you've seen the economy come roaring back. 2 months of large growth in job numbers, and this month was higher than last month. So what we're seeing is the economy coming back, what they sometimes call a V-shaped recovery. You know, it goes down and straight back up. So if that continues, and I've no reason to suppose it shouldn't, I, on the contrary, against what Nate Silver and other pollsters are saying, I'm predicting here that it will be a Trump victory. And not only a Trump victory, it will be a Trump landslide. What I'm going to call, and I think everyone will call, a Trump slide. What do you think?
Oh, dear. Well, it's
you heard it here first.
An interesting image. Yes. Well, I know that we predicted
the slide will be orange.
Yes. Well, I actually have a slightly different take on it in the sense that I think he will win. But of course, whilst we know that November, and we're still talking here, of course, in July of 2020, predicting what's going to happen several months on is very difficult in a world that is affected by COVID-19. Now, and the United States is still sadly suffering, like many other countries, with people who have lost their lives from COVID-19, but are also so contracting it. And I think that this will have a bearing on matters. For example, whether people can get to the polls, whether it will shift their opinions. Because by association, like it or not, some people will think that politicians are to blame. Because of either they didn't take the right decisions of shutdown, or on the counter to that, that they opened up the communities too quickly. So I think it will have a bearing on. I don't think it will be a landslide, but I think he will win. But what I would like to sort of look at is taking the political standpoint. I'm going to throw out a few things here. So first of all, I have a worry about France. Yes, I know that we probably we all worry about France on a number of levels. But if you think about what's happened recently, is that they've had a bit of a clear out recently, and Macron has had a new prime minister installed. And it does worry me that France economically is going through major change. Like many EU countries, I think it's going to suffer through 2020 and beyond. And of course, the big one, which really everyone's talking about, yes, folks, it's that lovely word. We haven't said it for some time, and that's Brexit. And that is that I think we're all sleepwalking into further economic disaster. Certainly, I think many people think that Boris Johnson, yes, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, yes, that's the chap with also a silly hairdo, he certainly seems to be floundering as to what's to do now with some kind of deal. And I believe, this is just my personal point of view, that certainly if we were to go back to 2019, the idea of, you know, the United Kingdom not having a deal with the EU probably would have favoured the United Kingdom and perhaps, ironically, even the EU, because at some point they would have got to a deal in the future and it wouldn't have mattered because things would have just carried on trading. Business would have certainly found a way. COVID-19 has changed the game. And so by now, not having a deal potentially at the end of 2020 could be a real disaster. Now, we know that many countries have had to borrow money, there's quantitative easing, and I think that we're seeing here, particularly in the United Kingdom, I'm focusing specifically on this now, many companies are using a furlough scheme. So for our international listeners, this would be like a bailout, effectively a holding strategy to keep businesses and employment going in certain companies. We won't go into the mechanisms, but I think that when that ends, and that, folks, ends at the end of October of 2020, you're going to see more companies go bust, more unemployment, and it will rise above 10%. That is really serious. Yeah. And here's then just a little bit further of a prediction. If we do not have a deal in place by December 2020, going into 2021, I think all parties, that's EU members and non-EU members, including the United Kingdom, will suffer even further. And I could see that when people always talk about economic depression, they always sort of benchmark it to the 1930s. Certainly when everybody was singing Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime? And all those sort of things everyone in America, everyone was singing it. Well, they'll be singing it even louder, I think, going into 2021, because I believe that what will happen is the country can't afford to do another furlough type scheme. No. And so on an economic front, I think that we've got some really serious troubles ahead. And I would also go as far as to say, just to conclude this point, that we are setting up a generation of people who will be debt holders. Effectively, people who are in their 20s and 30s will have to spend decades trying to pay off this burgeoning debt.
Yes.
So that's on a political front. I do worry about France on the fact that they're French is one worry.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I think that their economy is worse than perhaps we think. And politically, I think there could be turbulence.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So your prediction for 2020 is the big shock of mass unemployment in October going into November. I think
particularly in the United Kingdom, but it will ripple then across Europe.
Across Europe, yes. America, as I was saying earlier, is in a better position. Obviously, it's going to be hit by this lockdown, but it's in a better position. So it'd be interesting to see the political dynamics again there, say, between the EU and the United States. Yeah. as there's been no love lost before. But yes, France is in a particularly difficult situation. I was reading recently that in their economy, the public sector makes over 50%, which is a very bad position to be in. I mean, we're not that far different, but we're certainly not over half. I think it's about 40% in Britain. But this means that, you know, without a big private sector, what you effectively get a huge public sector with a little tiny private sector paying for everything. They're the ones that are generating the wealth. So they're in a very bad position.
Here's some stats, because we can move on to another subject. But here's 63% of British businesses reported a fall in export sales. That's a lot. Mm. 73% saw a fall in domestic sales.
Yep.
That's even worse. And this is the killer, folks. Yes. 64% reported a worsening of cash flow. Now, cash was always tight as we were going into 2020.
Yeah.
But I think that cash is, and this is another prediction, folks. I actually think that we will see the death of cash. Why? Because COVID-19, it was always diminishing anyway. The idea of you being able to touch and interchange goods and materials, as you know, something that we're all very conscious of. We have to wash our hands and so on. And many people have already said, and even the Bank of England and many other banks in Germany and France and many other places have said, that the actual use of cash is diminishing dramatically. So I would say not only in 2020 that the use of currency and coins, I mean, I'm going to tell you, Clergyman Pete, that I have not exchanged any goods via cash. It's all been by card. So let me ask you, when was the last time you used cash?
Well, I do use cash, I'm up north, you see. We're a bit behind. No, there is, and there has been.
Where £5 will cover everything.
I had a large endowment on it. Anyway, there was a joke in there somewhere, but I thought, this isn't a joke telling session. Let's just move swiftly on. No, you do use cash. But there is a sort of trend towards using especially contactless cards.
Absolutely. And,
so that you don't have to touch. And then, so I think that is a prediction. The contactless cards and other forms, for example, Apple Pay, are going to be taking off in the latter half of 2020.
We talk about the cold
economy. Buy the shares.
The cold economic front of the economy,
yes.
But now the environment.
Yes, cold front, yes.
I predict that, we saw extraordinarily, and particularly for Britain, that with all these people not going about in aeroplanes, trains, automobiles, and many other things, gas guzzling, the air seemed, much sweeter and more refined and just more, and nature seemed to blossom. But, of course, we're now getting back on track. And people are going out and about in the cars, not to the same extent. And some people are now starting to travel. And, yes, travel agencies are now starting to open up. And you could book your holidays, folks. But here's the thing. We've seen a big heat wave. And, of course, I think that will change. I think by the end of the year, we would have an unprecedented cold wave. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because it'll have an adverse effect, but in a different way going forward as we start to unlock. And so there's one prediction. I know the environment is a lovely subject for you because you definitely have a difference of opinion with Greta Thunberg, don't you, in terms of what she sees as being the cause of global warming.
You know, I'm not fighting against the trend of real scientists, but against climate scientists. Yes, I mean, it's not that they're not scientists. It's just that I think climate science has been co-opted as a political movement. That the actual science does not point to the being anthropic. Is that the word? Man-made, anyway.
Yes.
Climate change at all, but it does show that the climate is warming. And it was interesting over the first part of this year with the lockdown. There was a lot less of use of fuel and so a lot lower emissions of CO2 during the months we've been in lockdown. And we've seen in the area where I live, which is an industrial area, we've seen the air improve. It's been sunny most of the time. And so, you know, being forced to just stay at home and just go out for a run or a walk, what a terrible life. It's actually been very pleasant because it's been so sunny. And my usual bouts of migraines caused by the fumes from the factories near here have gone. And it's got warmer and warmer. But notice the CO2 levels went down. It was never the CO2 causing the warming. But this disturbance in the climate, this change in the climate, it's going to have a knock-on effect. And you will see, I think, that this is a Mark and Pete prediction. We're going to see some storms brewing up for the second half of the year.
Yeah. Yes, I'd say storms in literal sense and metaphorical sense. I think that there will be definitely political turbulence. There's no question about that. But then here is another thing as well, and this is another bold prediction. It's something that's occurred to me that as many theatres are struggling, and cinemas, as we all know, because they've had to shut down, places of entertainment, basically, I think will go bust. But probably here's a big one for you folks. I know that many of you all tune in and listen to the BBC, but I have a feeling that the BBC may not be the BBC for very long. Because I think that the country can't afford it. And whilst you need a national broadcast entity, I don't believe that what we will see is a lot of these big institutes surviving, because the method of earnings, particularly the independent channels, have struggled. And we've already seen a clue here. You know the BritBox folks, you want to sort of listen to some back issues of things, but that's a combination of independent channels with the BBC. I think there's going to be a scaling back of big media organizations in America as well as in Britain.
Yeah, I can see. I don't know, because of the length that the charter has, the current charter with the BBC, which has to be renewed every now and then. I don't think it's going to run out this year, I think I'm right in saying. So therefore, I can't see it actually
being scaling. It's a scaling back.
And it could well be. Broken up
in
some way.
We've already seen that, because as many people will know, and I'm sure many of our listeners do like to tune into some of the terrestrial channels, but they've already cut back on presenters and they've consolidated programs. Mm-hmm. And that's extraordinary. And you would never have done that, a year or a year or two.
What we're seeing, as we can report to you, gentle listener, is that many of you are coming to listen to shows, shows such as the Mark and Pete Show.
Increasing podcasts.
To get your comment, we're seeing an increase in listenership to our show, and many thanks to you all for joining. But it's a general trend; it's not just us. We're seeing it across the board, and the move to independent commentators, because people feel, for very good reason, that entities such as the BBC take a one-sided approach, particularly to news commentary, which we do a lot of on this channel, as well as religious and economic commentary. But it's a self-inflicted wound that may well kill the BBC.
Well, speaking of self-inflicted, I would like to point out that I think that the Church of England... Yes. We're going to switch our subject.
I knew you'd bring that up. I was only hoping you wouldn't mention
like
this.
It's a bouncing ball, isn't it, really, that in the sense that we will be switching left, right and centre. But I do believe, and I am worried about this, and I know that you might be, being a member of the clergy, I think that more churches will close, certainly in England. But there will be other churches, I think, throughout the world. COVID-19 has definitely changed our whole outlook on society, and faith is one of them. And so my question here to you, Clergyman Pete, is that I believe, and here's a prediction, there will be less churchgoers and faith followers.
Well, there are two separate points there, which I think you deliberately said it separately. There are two separate points. Church going is not the same as being a faith follower. And I think there will be less church goers. I think that's correct. But people had already been voting with their feet not to go to church. And this, as some listeners will know, there's a crossover between this show I do with you, Mark, and some worship and prayerful stuff that I do, also through the virtual vicar channels. You may well know that I've done moved to doing a lot of the Bible teaching and some of the prayer and worship online through this and through another channel. But that, as we broadcast this, the new channel that I'm about to launch hasn't started yet, but we'll report on it when it happens.
Yes.
So there's been a move by...
You're going to be bringing out a new podcast.
Yes, anyway, no, I don't want to say more about it because it's a whole new project. But bringing worship online has been something that's happened throughout the Church of England. And
yes,
it's been great doing that. It's kept people involved. But one thing that hasn't, that is missing from that, is the ability to contribute both physically by helping and give money. You know, of course, over time, churches will change such that they expect giving online. But will they make the change quickly enough? Or will they lose people? Because, of course, you can shop around if you're online. You could go to several churches at once just by a click of a button, you know, if you're going to an online church. So I could see things there being a competition between churches, and I think that that's a good thing. You know, what brings you closer to the Lord is better. Overall, it's a good thing. But, of course, you may just choose the church whose Bible teaching says the things that you want to hear rather than the things you need to hear. But in terms of the traditional Church of England idea of going to church, yes, I could see they're going down even more. And to some churches just closing their doors forever, I think many by the end of 2020. The average attendance at a Church of England church was already under 20.
So
I think, as we've reported early, on an earlier show, so I think that that's happening. And it could well be there were problems... it was about 18 years ago with one diocese about to go bust in the Church of England. It could well be that that could happen again. One whole diocese could go bankrupt. That won't mean it'll disappear, but it's just an illustration of the financial problems that they're going through this period. So that could happen. Yes, that could happen.
Let's do what we'll call a quick roundup of other subjects that we haven't covered. I'm going to predict, and what I already know, that many organisations, businesses, have already decided that many people will no longer go actually back to a fixed base environment, like an office or something. They will be working from home. So there's an obvious trend that will happen through the latter half of 2020 and onwards. So if you're in real estate, particularly if you're in industrial real estate, you're in trouble, folks. I also think we got to think laterally. We, like many other people, did not predict a pandemic. But I do wonder whether we're going to end up with something like an asteroid hitting us or aliens landing.
Yes.
And I do think that it's important that we cover all our
And as you know, Mark, we were going to do predictions for football. And apparently, I think it's been officially calculated, hasn't it, that the chances of Liverpool, what was the prediction?
The Premier League champions of 2020 will not get relegated in 2021.
Yes.
But here, you heard it here, folks.
Yes, it's more likely to be visited by aliens. I think that's correct.
Liverpool to be visited or played for by aliens.
Yes, that's more likely to happen. In fact, it's probably already happening for the way they're playing. It's quite inhuman. But the other things, just to round up, as you were saying, Mark, a few other things. I think that China, I'm not going to say anything dramatic about China and its relation to America and Britain. I'm going to say, well, it's going to be a Cold War rather than an all-out war. So I don't see there being a massive war. Not that I wanted one, but it'd be a nice dramatic thing to say in the podcast.
I think there will be a war. I think there will be.
Yes, go ahead. There will be a war. That's not exactly a dramatic prediction, is it? There's always war. Race relations, will they get worse? I think that the Black Lives Matter and other groups, you know, there is a genuine sense of grievance, but I think that the funding that we could see, I mean, organisations have to declare if they're, you know, if they're public charities and that's not-for-profits, they have to declare where they get their money from. We can see that monies are coming from the usual suspects, George Soros being one of them, to organisations such as Black Lives Matter, has a lot of funding from him. And so I see it that this will increase the sort of protests, etc., and claims of systemic racism in the US up to, let's say, November. and then yes. it'll when there's a presidential election. So that's what I predict happening. I wanted to say one before we close. I do want to say one religious thing, particularly to do with Christianity, and then another one to do with Islam.
That's always a good one.
The Christianity thing I wanted to say is that there were quite a few mission organisations that put forward a strategy leading up to 2020 that they would try and get the gospel preached in all the world by 2020, that they would try have a see churches planted in every people group by 2020. I'm not going to name them because what I'm going to say is I don't think it's happened. Wait the reports. And so I think they weren't saying that it would happen. This was just a name. But I was going to say it seems that it hasn't happened in 2020 because of 2020 vision. And also it's a nice round number. Got a hold of people. And they'll say, we'll do it by then. But why? Why by then? Because it's a nice round number. So I don't think it's that meaningful. I'll just say there will be a recalibration of what mission organisations are aiming for. And maybe they'll take a long-term approach, which is the best approach for Christianity. Because if someone interested hears the gospel message proclaimed to them, the research shows that it takes between 7 and 8 times of hearing it before they make a decision. So that's someone who's interested in hearing. That statistics are taken from evangelistic crusades, etc. So you need to take your time with these things. One more religious thing before we close. I know we're coming to the end of the show. We don't want it to be too long, but I just wanted to briefly mention about the big issues with there being problems with the authenticity of the Quran. I think is already and will continue to send shockwaves throughout Islam. The big claim over the past few decades by Islam has been, no, Islam is true. We know that because the Quran has been absolutely preserved. It's the one that was dictated from heaven to Muhammad. Now it seems that the Quran hasn't been preserved, but more than that, even if it's in its original manuscripts, people changed it and moved words around and sometimes got the words wrong, not just in the wrong order. It's a huge shock because of the claims made about it. I mean, Christianity doesn't make those sort of claims. We know it's written by loads of people. People make mistakes. So I think that's going to dent the faith of many Christians, of many Muslims, and increase the faith of Christians and, I guess, atheists, anyone who doesn't believe in Islam. But how that will work out could be more violence, being more keen to further your cause, not by persuasion, but by violence. But it could also see, in the Western world at least, many, many young Muslim Christians, many young Muslims abandoning their faith and becoming secular, which I don't see as a good thing. I'm not gloating over that. I think I think people should become Christian. I don't want people to just lose their faith. But I could see that happen because of the ludicrous claims made about the Quran, which could never be sustained.
Well, nothing controversial there then, folks. Clergyman Pete, I predict, will continue to evangelise and give his views on faith.
Yes, that's not much of a prediction.
But, why not let us know your thoughts? We're going into the latter half of 2020. And one prediction I will say is, thank goodness 2020 will come to an end. Why not log on to markandpete.com and let us know your predictions? We'd love to hear from them, from you and all of your family. We would read them out onto the next show. Maybe do an update later on in the year.
Yes, yes.
And do some predictions for the 2021 season. Well, thanks for joining our podcast today, and join us next time for more topical topics with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.